Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Today and every day this week, we're spotlighting conversations handpicked by our hardworking and dedicated producers. Today's producer picks come from Zach Goddard-Cohen. I saw the Pixar movie Turning Red twice in 24 hours when it came out. I loved it, and so did most of us here on Team All of It. So we were surprised when some voices condemned the very honest way the animated film depicted the emotional messiness of puberty. That was one of the things we liked about it. And when it generated a lively discussion at our pitch meeting, we knew we had to do a segment on the film. Zach, why don't you take it from here? Why is this one of your producer picks?
Allison, I absolutely loved Turning Red, and before I watched it, I had seen some headlines that it was a Pixar movie about menstruation and puberty, especially for adolescent girls, and I myself have never menstruated, and I've never been an adolescent girl, so I wasn't exactly expecting to connect with this movie, but it really hit home, like, hard. Like all the best Pixar, I laughed, I cried, and I felt more whole than I had before I watched it. It resonated with me, I think, because it's not really about menstruation or girls' puberty. It's about what we're taught as teenagers about the relationship between the heart and the mind, and how letting the world see your whole self can be dangerous. Turning Red says, no, it's not dangerous, it's empowering. And as a guy-adjacent gay person, I'm still working to unlearn some of those teenage lessons. And the fact that those harmful messages have stuck around with me as long as they have means that the surefirest way to prevent their proliferation is right there at the source. So we asked feminist author and journalist Peggy Orenstein, who wrote books like Boys and Sex, Girls and Sex, and Cinderella Ate My Daughter, to come on the show to help us help kids through that weirdest of life stages, puberty. How can we explain to kids what's happening to their bodies, to their hearts, and to their minds without leaving them with a lot of stinking thinking to unlearn later in life?
I started by asking best-selling author and journalist Peggy Orenstein what Pixar's Turning Red got right about girlhood and adolescence, and what it got maybe not so right.
I love Turning Red. It was great. I think one thing is that we do, it's wonderful to have this conversation and start it with girls. I think we really need to have it with kids of any gender, mm-hmm. because destigmatizing puberty, destigmatizing menstruation, making girls' bodies not feel a sense of shame or weirdness is something that has to be discussed all across the spectrum, not just with girls. I thought it was such a delight. And I really thought about when I wrote Cinderella Ate My Daughter, which came out now about 10 years ago, I think Pixar at that point had made, I want to say 15 or 16 movies, and there had not been one single female protagonist. Hmm. So even the fact that they have a movie, with female protagonists, with an Asian female protagonist, with an Asian female protagonist that's talking about puberty and making that into an experience that is both particular and universal. Those are all wonderful, groundbreaking things.
In the film and in your writing, we see the way friends play different roles from parents at this time, especially. When you think about your kids and their friends in puberty, what is a good thing for an adult to know about how your kids are feeling about their friends and their friends' influence? And then if you could extend it out to what role can an adult play, or what sort of posture should an adult take at this time?
Well, I mean, I think we all remember that our friends were so incredibly important during that period in being, no pun intended, in being both our support and also sometimes being, feeling isolated from friends, feeling rejected from friends, feeling made fun of by friends or by others. And it's a time of real shifting relationships. So part of all of discussing, puberty and growing up and the next phase as kids not only have hormonal changes, but they have changes in terms of their brain development and thinking concretely versus being able to think in a more abstract way, is talking about body changes, destigmatizing body changes, but also talking about relationships and friendships and what makes good friendships and all of that, because those things are really, being navigated in a way that is profound and deep. And as for parents, you know, ideally we're not entering conversations about puberty and about sexuality when our kids are 13 or 14 or 15 or 16, but we've been talking about these things all along that mm-hmm. we have when our babies are born, we name all the body parts correctly. We're talking about friendships. We're talking about relationships. We're talking about bodies. We're talking about consent in ways that are age appropriate all the way up so that we build a scaffolding. And by the time we get to puberty, there's some open communication because it's not impossible, obviously, but as you see in the film, it's hard to have those conversations when you get to puberty without everybody turning into a big red panda and stalking into the boy band arena.
Let's talk to Pete, who is called in on line one from Chelsea. Hi, Pete. Thank you so much for calling All of It.
Hey, thank you so much. You know, I was fortunate. Well, first of all, I just want to make a shout out to the Children's International Film Fest, mm-hmm. which sponsored the film and showed the premiere over here in Chelsea. The movie was fantastic, and it really spoke to me. I'm in it. I've got a 12-year-old daughter, and you know, it's been tough, not just with the, you know, looming menstruation situation, but just getting along with a child that's going through this. A, I was wondering if any for advice on that, and B, I also wanted to make shout out to some of the kids who did the Q&A with the director after the program. It was amazing. Probably 11, 12-year-old boy got up and asked a question about censorship.
Wow.
He wanted to know if she got any flack from the higher-ups at Disney and Pixar, you know, regarding censorship for China and all that. It was refreshing to see a child like up on events,
and
especially in the motion picture business. It's where I work. Anyway, I'll take my answer off the air. I'm just really looking for any kind of advice. The movie was enlightening and wonderful. I suggest everyone sees it.
Pete, thank you so much. So Pete's a single dad with a 12-year-old daughter. Peggy, can you give him some guidance about how to introduce these conversations?
Well, first of all, I think, you know, you're kind of 95% of the way there by asking a question and by being a father who's really engaged, because there's so much research on the benefit of a father or whoever the male figure is, role model figure is in a girl's life, staying connected during this time, because so often what happens around puberty is that, you know, that fathers or father figures just kind of go, whoa, not my area, and back off. And, you know, by being there, you are the role model. You're modeling how men should treat women and girls. That's really important. We also know that here's something to think about in those moments that are driving you crazy. when girls feel that they can argue and push back against male authority figures, it actually has been shown to teach them that they can do that kind of in the larger world. So whether it's in terms of being more aware when they're with a romantic partner or in a case of sexual harm or in the office, it's really great when they've had that experience of tangling with their male authority figure in their teenage years. So keep that in your heart. I think that helps. There's a lot of great books on parenting girls and parenting daughters, some of which are on my website, which is peggyarnstein.com. But one thing, if I can say that I thought a lot about when I had a daughter that age was an idea that Lisa D'Amour talks about, which is the way that parents become kind of like the side of a swimming pool when their daughters are that age and their daughters are experimenting. So they're like swimming out into the deep end and they want nothing to do with the wall in the pool, but then suddenly they get scared for some reason, whatever it is, you know, and they come back and they cling to the wall of the pool. But then once they feel better, they have to push off the wall even harder and ignore it even more in order to, you know, reassert themselves back in the deep end again. So you can feel like your daughter has suddenly come back and everything's great and she's cuddly and wonderful again. And then boom, she pushes off and she's gone and you're left like saying on the wall of the pool. But I think understanding that dynamic a little bit can help with those ups and downs, put them in a little bit of context.
My guest is Peggy Orenstein. We are talking about how to talk to our kids around puberty. We've also been talking, obviously, about the film Turning Red, which I think was a pretty great film for introducing some of those conversations. Although, you know, it's interesting, Peggy, there have been some articles saying that, you know what, Pixar shouldn't go down this road. This is not what Pixar films are about. We should not introduce, parents should introduce when they feel like it. You know, there've been some naysayers to the film.
Yeah.
I'm curious about, just from your research, why is this so thorny for adults? We can understand why it might be thorny for a kid to want to talk about this, but do you have any thoughts about this? Why it gives adults fits?
I mean, well, first of all, I just want to say to Phil and other parents that Pixar has just handed you on a plate an opportunity to talk about this stuff, right?
I mean,
you watch this film with your kids, boom, there you are having a conversation, and a conversation about how things were different when you were young and you never would have seen anything like this, and how, you know, maybe you come from, like, I come from a culture where the tradition was to slap a girl across the face when she got her period, which my mom didn't do, but that was what was done. And, you know, to, that's the Jewish tradition. And so under, you know, just having that conversation, not only about what's going on with your daughter, but about, you know, how we didn't learn to talk about it. And that leads me to what you're asking, which is, you know, why is it so hard? Well, first of all, why would you know how to do that? Hmm. Nobody taught you. Nobody talked to you that way. You don't have that information. So we're trying to be parents in a different way. So the anxiety and concern that we feel around that is good, because it means that we want to do something different, and it'll spark us to be, you know, to offer our children something that wasn't offered to us. And that's great. You know, there the sort of opponents of having open conversation generally, you know, have agendas and feel that if you start talking about puberty, which is opening the door, as it should, to talking about appropriate sexuality, that gives people license to have agency and possibly engage in sexual behavior, although there's no evidence. In fact, it doesn't. The more informed somebody is, particularly girls, about their bodies, their responses, their understanding of how they work, the more discerning they are and the more control they have over their experiences.
Let's go to Alyssa, calling in from Dobbs Ferry on line two. Hi, Alyssa. Thanks for calling.
Hi. So my kid is also 11 and identifies as non-binary. As I talk, I'm going to do my best to use they, them pronouns. Mm-hmm. I might not. They told us in January of last year that they preferred they, them pronouns. And it wasn't until, I think, September when they got their period for the first time. So a lot of the preparatory work that I had done a couple of years ago, like buying pads and the period underwear and things, a lot of those things were very colorful and bright, and they've also decided only to wear black now. But particularly the pink things that they had chosen. So it's been interesting.
I'm going to dive in because we're going to run out of time. And I thank you so much, Alyssa, for calling. I thought that was such an interesting point that Alyssa had, the way that it's all so gendered and packaged.
Yeah. And, you know, when I was writing Cinderella with my daughter, that book is all about sort of the packaging of girlhood. It stops before menstruation, but it's all about the kind of meaning of pink and how that's come to dominate in the last, 20 years, how we think about femininity, people who identify as feminine or people who have vulvas and vaginas and don't identify as feminine or as girls or as women. And so I think some of that is changing some. And there's certainly a lot of period underwear that that is in black. And boy, that's helpful, really. But that's it is a really interesting thing to point out, and maybe something, if your child is sort of political about it, that they would want to write letters to the companies about, or, you know, Instagram about, or do something to sort of think about how we think about that. And that could be a really cool and empowering thing for your child to do.
Peggy, in our last minute or so, obviously there's the bodily changes, but there are these huge emotional changes. And we have a couple of calls about this. One or two guidelines for parents who are realizing that with all of these physical changes, are coming these emotional and behavioral changes. One or two things parents should know.
Breathe.
Breathe.
I'm not going to pretend it's easy or that I can fix this one for you. But again, you know, recognizing, having the perspective to know that there's a lot going on, being able to name it for your child, not shame it, and being able to talk to your child and say, yeah, I mean, you can, there's big feelings that happen now. And part of this time is learning to ride those waves and handle it and manage it and ultimately make it work for you. And what you're going through is a big change. And what you're going through as a parent is a big change and ultimately a beautiful thing. And part of how you navigate this is going to help you have a really wonderful relationship with your daughter 4 or 5 years from now, I promise.
That was my conversation with best-selling author and journalist Peggy Orenstein. Her books include Cinderella Ate My Daughter, Girls and Sex, and Boys and Sex. Up next, relationship coach Dedeker Winston talks about the difficulties and the upsides of non-monogamy. Plus, we'll hear from listeners who have had experiences with multiple romantic partners. You're listening to All of It.